Because there's three forces in there we have to know about. Actually, it's four forces, one negative and three positive forces that we're going to have to know about if we're going to make haste in life. It says, God has not given us the spirit of fear, okay, but power, love, and a sound mind. 2 Timothy 1 and 7, I think it is. God has not given us the spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. Now, power, love, and a sound mind are three forces that God have given you to overcome fear. You have power over Satan. You have power over anything he tried to bring against you in Jesus' name. And then the love of God, the love of God is the strongest force that ever existed. And perfect love casts out fear. And then he tell you about having a sound mind. We're going to get further into that to understand why it's so important to have a sound mind. So those three things there, power, love, and a sound mind are three forces. Now, two other forces I want you to write down. Your image is another force. You've been made in the image of God. You're in the image of Christ. That's another force that calls you to win. Another one is not only your righteousness. Righteousness is another force. So you have power, you have a sound, you have power, you have love, you have a sound mind, you have your image, and the righteousness of God. That's five. I might touch on them later. But those are five, I would call them, if you operate in them right, supernatural forces that God has given us to win or to be in victory. Or to live the Christian life. It tells us, why does God want us to have a sound mind, a path of progression, a sound mind? I want to say, why does God want us to have a sound mind? Very simply, your mind is the access point by which Satan gain entrance into your life. What? Your mind is the access point. Access point by which Satan gained entrance into your life. Got that? Yes, Satan does not gain entrance through your body. Satan does not gain entrance through your spirit. Satan does not gain interest through your finances. Satan does not gain interest through your sickness. Satan gain entrance or access through the thoughts that we think. I've read many books. A lot of my notes come from other authors, other speakers, but he says the battle that we are facing is the battle in our mind, the battle between your ears. I want you to listen, because I'm going somewhere, but I want to touch base with you on that. In your mind is where the battle is won or is where the battle is lost. This is why Satan fights so much in our thought life. He understands, listen to me, he understands the root to everything in our life is what we think about. What you think about will ultimately result in your future. Now, let me give you the path of progression, how Satan will work on you. See, you have to, further down the line, we're going to learn that Satan has no power over you. Matter of fact, you have power over him. Okay? You know what Jesus said in Luke 10, 19? You have power, you have ability and authority over Satan, but he works through your mind. He works through your thought life. What I said? Right, work through your thought life. I'm going to show you how to stop him. Now, you have these God has not given a spirit of fear, power. You got the power, that's Luke 10:19, Acts 1:8. But you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Jesus said, all power is in my hand. And the Bible constantly talking about the power you have. But as many as receive him in John 1:12, he said, to them give he the power, become the sons of God. That's a sonship, so that's a relationship. So therefore, what belonged to God, what belonged to the Father, belonged to you. God's strength is your strength. God's wisdom is your wisdom. God's understanding is your understanding. God's knowledge is your knowledge. God's grace is your grace. God's mercy is your mercy. God's righteousness is your righteousness. God's faith is your faith. God's love is your love. God's joy is your joy. God's peace is your peace. Are you understanding that? Because you're sons of God, according to John 1:12. See, but as many as freedom to them, give you the power to become sons of God. So you have power over Satan. Satan does not have power over you. We give him too much credit. You don't have more than one access into your life. That's your thought life. One access. That's the only thing. He got to lie to you and deceive you to use your own power against yourself. He lied to you and make you deny your right to tread upon him. Deny your light, deny your right to walk upon him. Because he come with some deceptive statement through a person, through a situation, and lie to you, and you believe that he has more power than you. And a lot of times the preaching tell you he has more power than you. And we preach about the devil so much and how big the devil is, and he's really not that big because he's been stripped. Yeah. Colossians 2:15, look what Colossians 2:15 says. He's been stripped. He's been trampled over already. And the only reason Ephesians 6:12 says we wrestle against flesh and blood is to let you know there's an enemy out there, but he already a defeated enemy. He told us in Colossians 2:15 he defeated. It tells us in Ephesians 1:17 to the end of that chapter he's defeated. He tells us that in the finished work of Christ, yes, the cross, when Jesus died in our place, that was a divine exchange, yes, when Jesus died. Amen. He took our weakness, we took his strength. He took our failure, we took his victory. And it's still there. So if Satan can whoop you, he can whoop Jesus. Impossible. Impossible. And so we have to recognize the authority that we have in our life, that the trouble we go through and the seem like failure we're going through is because somewhere along the line, maybe 15 years ago, Satan accessed your mind and start telling you where you're going to go and how you're going to make it. So I'm going to show you his progressive system, and a lot of people will get delivered. I mean, we've been in church a long time, but if this thing taught right and caught right and the Holy Spirit can breathe on it right, it'll make you a giant. You'll rise up because you'll know how to defend yourself. Worst thing in the world is not knowing how to defend yourself. See? And so here the Lord bring us into this teaching to understand that if we conquer our thought life, Satan is a defeated foe in our life the rest of our life. Amen. Conquer our thought life. You got power. I'm going to say it again. You got love, and you got your image. You got righteousness. All of those are weapons or forces that you can use to protect your thought life. Now, here's a little lineup, five things you need to know. The reason your thoughts are so important, your thought will determine your decision. Your thoughts will determine your decision. Your thoughts will determine, in another way to say it, your thoughts will determine your choices. Now, it's a progressive system, all right? In other words, whatever thought that you're permitting to come in is what you're going to decide to do. Secondly, your decision now will determine your action. See, the access by the thought, he accessed by the thought with a lie or deception. Your decision will determine your action. In other words, what you're going to do in any given situation. Are you here?
Yes, sir.
Hello. Now, folks wonder, Christian wonder, how do Christians get into habits? Habits, ungodly habits. How do Christians get stuck? You say they're a Christian, how do they get stuck? Well, after that thought access your mind, and after you make decision based on that lie, it will determine how you act. Your action will determine or result in or turn into a habit. So when you see Christians living wrong or doing, they're stuck in a habit, and Satan have accessed their mind, because their mind, listen to me now, the mind is the root. What's going on in your life is the root. The root of it is in your mind. The Bible constantly tells us, God, search me, O God, search me, O God, know my heart. Turn to Psalm 139:23. Search me, O God, know my heart. Didn't the Bible, and like I used to say in the country, haul off and say, search me, O God, know my heart. Try me. You with me? Come on, turn the Bible. Try me, because I'm going to be rolling. Try me and know my thoughts. Search me, O God, know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. Didn't he say that? Then he says, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. How many of y'all got to the voice? Now you got to get to the voice so you can mark it down, because don't waste my time. You need to know this stuff. See, try, oh, search me, O God, know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me away everlasting. You see that? Huh? Now I'm going to show it to you again. Go to Hebrews 4:12. The word of God is quick and powerful, and sharper than a two-edged sword, dividing the son of the soul and the spirit, and the joint and the marrow. And then at the last statement in that verse, it says, knows the intent and the thoughts of the heart. The intent and the thoughts of the heart. The intent and the thoughts of the heart. The word knows that. The intent and the thoughts of the heart. Let's see. Yes, I think it's Proverbs 23:7. See, I haven't got to the Hebrews yet, Pastor. Well, you got to be moving fast. Write it down. Is it Proverbs 23:7 say, as a man thinketh? That's the right voice? As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. I want you to emphasize that word thinketh now. Thinketh in his heart. Thinketh in his heart. Your heart think through your mind. Your mind bring the thought to your heart. All right, now you got, search me, O God, know my, search me, O God, know my heart, see if there be any wicked way in me, know my thoughts. And then you got the word of God, know the intent and thought of the heart, right? Yes, and now you're seeing that as a man thinketh, so is he. Let's sit there a while. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Think about that. Think about that. So what will Satan do? Satan will put the wrong thoughts in you so you can think, so that's what you be. Are you following me? The thought pattern. Now we know, we're also, and I'm just going to go ahead of myself, I'm going to take it back from the decision to the action to the habit. Then you go to character. I think the next one is character. I'm going to take it to some more voice in a minute. As far as your thought will determine your decision, your decision will determine your action. Your action will determine resulting in or turn into a habit. Your habit will develop your character. Your character will determine your destiny. Wow. Now you need to get a hold of this pattern. You got it? Your thought would, you see, it all comes from thought. Your thought would determine your decision. Your decision would determine your action. What else? All right, we're rolling. Now you need to get a hold of that pattern. You need to get a hold of that pattern. Whatever going on in your life came through that transition. All right? Now, let me read some things to you. So if you're all concerned about your destiny, how many of y'all concerned about your destiny? And I believe that if you got in your right mind, you should be probably very concerned about our destiny and where we're headed in life. How many of y'all concerned about where you're headed in life? Are some of y'all just going to park where you are and just take whatever comes? All right. Now listen what happened now. Listen what happened, because you got to know about these thoughts. People ask, what's going to be the outcome of my life? How are we going to end up in this life? Just some questions. Is that important to each one of us to know how our life ends up? Isn't it important that to us that we fulfill the will of God in our life? Isn't it important for us to fulfill God's destiny for our life? Now listen very carefully now. The thing about our destiny is not at all what we need to be concerned about. If you're concerned about your destiny, you listen, young lady, if you're concerned about your destiny, you don't need to work on your destiny. If you're concerned about your character, you don't need to work on your character. If you're concerned about your habits, you don't need to work on your habits. If you're concerned about your action, you know, we try, well, I'm not going to do this no more. And read five scriptures and say six confessions and do it the next day. If you're concerned about your decision, you don't need to work on your decision. If you're concerned about all of these things, you're listening? You need to work on one thing. That one thing only is your thought life. Y'all either heard me or didn't hear me, because you're getting a solution here. Your destiny is the fruit of your life. Your character is the fruit of your life. Your behavior and habits, they are the fruit of your life. Your decision, they are the fruit of your life. Are you listening? Because I'm about to say something now. It's the fruit of your life. But your thought life is the root to all those other things in your life. You can trace every habit back to a thought. And so what happens, Satan, if we focus on our fruit but don't deal with our root, we can pick, watch this, listen. We can pick off all the bad fruits in our life, but it will never change the fruit that grow on the tree. Y'all ain't getting it. You can pick up all the bad fruit in your life, but it wouldn't change the fruit that grow on the tree, because messing around with the fruit is not going to change anything. The problem is the root. And the root is your thought life. Every habit, every bad decision you make. Are you listening to me? Satan can't just jump and walk over you. Yeah. Satan has to deceive you. Yeah. He give you a thought. He deceive you through your mind. That's why, I go there. Turn to 2 Corinthians 10. That's why we go here. Yes, the weapon of our warfare, 2 Corinthians 10, 3. Please. Yes, please, sirs and ma'am. You see? I'll show you how to win. See, a lot of doctrine been taught in the church. Apostolically, we straighten them doctrine out, so the church won't be such fever-minded and weak, praying many hours, reading many scriptures, which supposed to produce strength and power, but you let the enemy come and slip a thought on you. And that thought, he produced fruit from that thought. That's why when Jesus cursed that fig tree in Mark chapter 11, he cursed it at the root, because he can curse the leaf, you can curse the leaf, the limbs, and the fruit, but it's still going to grow the same fruit. Yeah. So if you want to change the fruit, you got to go to the root. Yeah. And so whatever habit, whatever thing you got in your life you don't want, if you're listening to me tonight, the Holy Spirit is saying to you, you can change this. I mean, people, you know, I don't know if smoking is a sin or not. I know it kills you if you keep smoking them. But I mean, if people don't want to smoke, it's the thought. You got to get the thought pattern. Where you got it from? Uncle Joe used to smoke. And I used to sit down outside Uncle Joe. Uncle Joe used to pass me a cigarette. Say, boy, I tried it. That's how I got stuck from Uncle Joe. So if you get your mind straight, you don't have to go through that. Amen. Your thought straight. You got to go to the root of the thing. The thing that says, you know, we think it's a demon. No demon can possess us. No. See, they can oppress you, but they can't possess you. So we constantly calling demons out of one another. Well, how the demon got in there? See? So listen again now. Listen, 2 Corinthians 10:3. The weapon of our warfare are not called a mighty true God. Now, I think this is a backward progression here. I think in God, when he gets to a stronghold, he really got you. Pulling down stronghold, then he said, cast down two things. Casting down imagination. Are you with me?
Yes,
look at it. I want you to look at it. Look at it. Casting down imagination. You see that?
Yes,
and then it says, in every high thing, that's a thought, isn't it? That exalt itself against the knowledge of God, right?
Yes,
so you're pulling down and you're casting two things, right?
Yes,
now look at the fourth thing you got to do. Bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. You got to do that. Bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Now I'm told that word captivity means how you do that. I'm told the Romans, when they wrote, they made pictures with the word. The word captivity means sword conquer. Sword conquer. As soon as I heard that, I knew. Ephesians 6:17, the sword of the Spirit. I thought about the word of God. Hebrews 4:12. John 6:63. The words that I speak to you, they are spirit and life. That's his life. They're powerful. You see what I'm saying? John 15:7. If you abide in me, my word abide in you. Ask what you will. So I thought about that when he said, the sword that conquers. So the way to conquer your thought is with the word of God. Turn to Romans 12:2 now. Keep your mind renewed. Tell your neighbor, keep your mind renewed. Tell them the only thing that renew your mind is the word of God. Not no poem, not no psychology, not no psychiatrist, not no theme, not no education, not no academic, not, I don't care what it is, no, all other books you're reading, that's fine. But it cannot renew your mind. The only thing that can renew your mind is the word of God. Because the thoughts have to be conquered for your mind to be renewed. And there's nothing powerful enough to conquer your thoughts. You can't conquer your thought with pulling your own string and the Iranian zone and different book. I read a book, started reading a book today. I want to see what's going on. But I got into the introduction and the man said, in giving the introduction, says, suppose Adam would have had this book. Or suppose Cain would have had this book. I said, wait a minute. They had God's word. They had direction from God. So you're telling me this book is more stronger? And see, boy, these guys got some. See, the guy graduated from a lot of big colleges. You got to watch this stuff. And you got to watch people. Just because people got a big following, it doesn't mean that they're in tune to the doctrine of Christ right. Suppose he would have had this book. He'd have did worse. He had God, you got God. God telling you what to do in it. You know, you got God's word. Only the word of God can conquer your thought and correct your thought and change your decision and change your habit and change your destiny. You understand what I'm saying? It takes the word of God to do that. That's why we should spend time every day. Feast on some word. I know you know scriptures. I know you read the Bible. I know you got your Bible marked. But every day, you must understand your prayer and your scripture reading and your meditation is a fresh conversation with God. You must always, you see, I know you, well, you go to a good church and you get taught the word of God and you get excited. But stay fresh. Faith is not yesterday. Faith is not tomorrow. Faith is right now. Okay? Now, you notice there, it tells us about, we in 2 Corinthians 10 yet? Or went somewhere else? We're in Romans 12:2 now. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. Are you with me, young man? But be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Renewing of your mind. Say renewing of your mind 3 times.
Renewing of your mind.
You got Satan. You just, if you let that word conquer your mind, control your thoughts, and instead of letting Satan have your mind, you let God's word have your mind. And it changed the fruit. Now, I'm going to teach you a little lesson. Now, let's get there where he says, be not conformed to the world, be transformed by the renewing of your mind, right? That you may prove what's that good, look at it, acceptable and perfect will of God. Now, we're actually talking about, you remember John said, and we talked about it for prosperity, but it's the prosperous life at large. John said in 3 John 2, beloved, I wish above all things you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prosper.
Yes, sir.
Huh? And then God said, Jesus said, what it profits a man to gain the whole world and lose his soul. Then the Bible said, through patience you possess your soul.
Yes,
and your soul need, you see, your thoughts are the very thing that anchor your soul.
Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Now, let me tell you, Janie, what your soul consists of. See, it's five things your soul consists of. I may have told you before, but I need to reiterate those things as we talk about the decision, your thoughts. Your decision come from your thought. What else should come from your thought?
Habit
was next. Was habit next? Was habit next? No, you got to have something for habit. Action. Then your habit. Then your character. Then your destiny, right? All right. Now, you understand that. And that comes from your thought life. All right? Now, I told you 3 John, beloved, wish above all things your prosper be in health, even as your soul prosper, right? Didn't I go to another voice for that, after that? Was that Romans 12 too? Yeah, Romans 12 too. Everybody open their Bible, Romans 12 too. Okay, be not conformed. So now you're conformed to this world by thought. A Christian is. A carnal-minded Christian. Romans 8 talks about it in be not carnal-minded. All right? So be not conformed to the world, but be you transformed by what? Now I told you the soul, the word of God, is a soul that conquers. It conquers your thought. Life, okay? Because Satan gonna talk to you. You know that, right? Anybody know Satan talk to you? You ain't gonna make it. You probably won't wake up in the morning. You feel that? All right, now, he said, be not conformed to the world, be you transformed. So now, what we're talking about now is transformation thinking. We're talking about transforming your life through proper word thinking. Thinking the word. Thinking, T-H-I-N-K-I-N-G, the word. Constantly thinking the word. Constantly thinking the word can change anything. The Bible says in Isaiah, thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. See, the word is the thing that conquers your mind. Your mind is the thing, the only access that Satan has, the only access, no spiritual access, you can't come through your body, the only access he has is your mind. That's why the Apostle Paul talked about it, the weapon of warfare, I'm going back to 2 Corinthians 10, are not carnal but mighty through God to the pulling down strongholds, casting down imagination, casting out every high thing to exalt itself against the knowledge of God and bringing every thought to the being of Christ. Now, when we look at this thing, at the end of Romans 12, 2, let me go over it again because I'm about to show you something. I'm going to give you some aspect about your soul. In Romans 12, 2, it said, be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, right?
Amen.
That you what? May prove what was good, acceptable, and perfect. All right, now, the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. God's will is in his word. All right, you got that? Talk to me. God's will is his word. God's way is his word, all right? God's work is his word. All of it is in his word. All right, now, so here we're talking about with our thought life, renewing our mind, we can prove what is the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Now, let's identify this part of our being. We are spirit, we have a soul, and we live in a body. Let's identify our spirit is saved. Our soul has to keep being renewed. Now, here's what your soul consists of. Number one, one of the most trickable things there is, emotion/feeling. Emotion. We must conquer our emotion with the Word of God. We must conquer our feeling with the Word of God. See, because the Word of God is going to produce faith, and faith overrides feeling. Faith overrides fear when you have the Word of God, because the Word of God is spirit and life of faith. It's the spirit and life. It produces a spirit of faith. But the first thing you're dealing with is your emotion. In your soul is your emotion. If your emotion are not conquered, it's going to run your life. Secondly, reasoning/intellect. Reasoning/intellect. That's in your soul. If your reasoning, God said, Word says, come, let us reason together. Though your sin be like scarlet, I'll make them white as snow. So there's a reasoning with God, which is a divine reasoning. There's a natural reasoning, but then there's a spiritual reasoning with God, all right? So now, your reason has to be conquered with the Word of God. See, you're getting your whole soul lined up now. Your emotion, your reasoning. Next thing in there is your memory. Satan will bring old things back up to you, knock you out with them if you don't know how to deal with them. If you don't get your mind renewed, you know you done made some mistakes. I say you know you done made some mistakes. And Satan will take that unconquered memory, which is in your soul, and cause you to defeat yourself. See, but what I'm finding out, when you're renewing your mind, you're renewing your emotion, you're renewing your reasoning, you're renewing your memory, and you're renewing, watch this one now, because this is so precious, but because of thought interference, we don't use it. Your imagination. So actually, when you renew in your mind, you're renewing all that. Now, the end of Romans 12:2 said that we may prove what is good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Your will to become God's will, you're going to have that soul that conquer to deal with these other fellows in your soul. That's why your will that in your soul. But you got to deal with it. You got to deal with it. You got to deal with your imagination. I'm going backward. You got to deal with your imagination. You got to deal with your memory. You got to deal with your reasoning. And you have to deal with your emotion. The Word of God deal with all of that. But you got to know what you're doing. You got to feed on it. Meditate it. Read it. Memorize it. Do whatever it takes to get it in there. Then now your will now is ready to submit to God's will. See, you renew your mind. So you're ready to prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Now you're ready to tie into God's will. Look at Philippians 2:13. God is at work in you to will and to do of his good pleasure. God work on you by renewing your mind, because your spirit already willing. You're born again, right? So you, 2 Peter says you have the divine nature of God in you, divine power, divine connection, that you can escape the corruption through lust. That's what it says in 2 Peter. But in Philippians 2:13, it says God at work in you. God work in you with his word. God don't work in you with no hocus pocus. God work with his word. His word, see, believing is the Word of God. God, you got to have the Word of God. See, that's why Satan don't want us to have the word, because the sword let us know we are his master.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Amen. Okay.
That's why I emphasize to the church how important it is you to be here. Look at some of my members not here. I can't go back and teach this Sunday. We got to go somewhere else. I can't just hold a whole truck up and just let them ride. That's why I start service on time. I ain't going to sit around there and wait. I was in the church in Brazil. They say, we're waiting on the member. Waiting on them. You're not training them. You got to discipline them. They got to get down time. God time is important. All right? Amen. Now, so God's word Change your thought. Change your feeling. You can take the word of God and talk to your emotion. Talk to your feelings. Say, look, you're going to feel right today. God, doggone, you ain't bring me down this road today. I went down there yesterday with you, but today I'm not going for that. Yeah. Let me read to you. All things work together for good for them that love God. Did you hear that? If God is for me, who can be against me? I want my feet. I'm talking to my emotion now. So just straighten up here. Did you hear that? All things work together for good for them that love God. Did you hear that? And you're getting the emotion back in place so it can be a servant instead of making you a servant. Getting your imagination back in play. Dream big, because God can do it. The reason you see, we don't give God a chance to go do it ourselves. That's how we got so much credit. Dream big and wait on God. He's going to show you how to do it. But we try to show God how to do it. So he said, come on, God, we're going to the store. Let's go. God ain't saying nothing about no store. I read in the book, and I just laugh, reading behind another apostle, and he's talking about how he built a 6,000-seater called $25 million and didn't have no more than $700,000 in the bank. I thought about our episode here at a lower scale. But then he said he told the Lord that he had a 30-year mortgage on his house. He wanted to pay it out in 5 years. I beat him. I paid mine off in 3 years. See, you got to dream big, but you got to have your thought life right. Are you following me? Yes, now we're going to go further now. We're going further. Your decision, what else? Go back. Action. Cause so could it be a Christian, we have thought that the demon have them, and it's just a thought, the lie and the deception? See, the only way Satan can whoop you is lie and deceive you to work against yourself. Hello? Who with me up in here? Who's seeing this? How many? The way Darnell did this, he says, you're teaching Monday night. I heard him teaching Monday night. He's going to teach next Monday night. He says, when he said access, what you supposed to say? Say mind, what you supposed to say? Access. Mind, that's the only way Satan can get to you. Well, that's narrowing it down, isn't it? I mean, you fighting little Bebop demon over there, and Jack Crow demon coming from back there, and you're fighting all of them. Say, I don't know what one of these demons had to fight there. You don't have to fight none of them. Renew that mind. Feed your heart with that word of God. Feed your faith and operate in faith. Be led by the Spirit. The Bible talking about being carnal minded is an enemy against God. To be spiritually minded is life and peace. Ephesians 4:23 said, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. In Philippians 2, it says, have the mind of Christ. Mark tells us every damnable thing, evil thing, starts off with an evil thought. That's all Satan got. I can tell you right now, you who sitting here listening to me, you who watching me by internet, you who sitting here tonight, whatever you've been going through, listen to me, that have hindered your life, you prayed and you tried to change it, listen to me, please. You read scriptures and you tried to change it. You were changing it all the time, but you didn't know where you needed to change it at. It's a Romans 12:2 deal, sisters and brothers. You renew in that mind, and when you're new in that mind, listen to me. You shut the gate on Satan. Wow. So you see, it all starts with the thought, our thought life. So can you see why the devil wants to bombard your thought life. Because if he can bombard your thought life, if he can control your thought life, he can control your decision. If he can control your decision, he can control your action. If he can control your action, he can control your habit. If he can control your habit, he can control your character. And if he can control your character, he can control and destroy your destiny. And it's scripture after scripture, you know. As a man thinking his heart again, so is he. I'm trying to get some words. So it's plain as this. I want you to write this down. I want everybody to write. Some of y'all ain't got, y'all got them computers and stuff. I like to have some paper. Y'all got them telephone. Y'all even know y'all in church. Y'all still think y'all texting in the car. Get your Bible, shoot. Some boys trying to make me hip and new and all that. I just believe you need a Bible. Every time I get that phone, I see BJ. That's Boyce's daddy. I can see him saying, boy, you need a Bible. He's from the old school. He's from the old school. I can see R.D. Thomas, J.R. Williams, J.D. Lane, Kenneth Hagin, Oral Roberts. I can see him all telling me, Lester Semeraud, get you a Bible, son. Don't. You want the last one from the old school. Make them get a Bible. So we got to take back our thought life. That's what I want you to write and circle it. I got to take back my thought life. Try it, you'll lack it. That is all we need to focus on. Bible said, that's why the Bible said taking captive of every thought. Captive to the obedience of Christ. Most Christians and most churches think they got to make sure that their action and behavior is right. You know, we deal with that all the time. But your action went off and your behavior went off because your thought life went off. Satan can't attack you in your spirit. One of the authors I was studying behind, he says, I got to make sure my actions are right. I got to make sure I do what right. When all we are thinking about is do. That's all we end up with. Now, you know, I'm one of the word of faith proponents. I mean, I push the word of faith. I know the word faith works. But Mark Twain wrote years ago, what a small part, or what a small little part of a person's life are his action and his words. It seemed contrary to the truth as we study the word of faith. But it's really true. How small a part of a person's life or his action, his word, his real life is laid in his head and is known to no one but himself. All day long, the middle of his brain is grinding in his thoughts, not those other things or his history. Your history, when your life is over, the history is written about you will be determined by the thought life you had. Now, I tell you what. Anybody in here had any habit, I can get them delivered in 5 minutes. They listen to me. It's your thought. See? Now, you'll be delivered. I'm not saying that. You see, the Bible said the devil leave and he make a circle and he coming back. The Bible said he left Jesus for a season. The thing is, you have to renew that mind enough when he come back to not let him have that path or that groove he had put in your mind. When he come back, you got a word in there. Say, you got a word. You got a sheriff in there. Yeah, you got a word. Police. Young man, I don't know if anybody remembered. I didn't even know what that boy was talking about. 25, 30 years ago, I had a boy come here named Wyatt Brown. Wyatt made a statement to us that was the most powerful statement a man could say. He says, every thought, handcuff it. So you can investigate and see if it's from God or whether it's from the enemy. I couldn't grasp it. I didn't grasp exactly what we're talking about. Now I see it so clear. You got to handcuff your thoughts. When a thought's trying to come in, you got to act that thought. Are you in agreement with God's word? Are you in agreement with God's image? Are you in agreement with righteousness? If you can't answer, you can't come in here. Everybody up in here in trouble. You got in trouble through your thought life. Somebody made a suggestion to you. See? Or somebody was going through something. You said, man, how you got like that? And they told you how they got like that and told you how they got it. It's all of your thoughts. You go and get it. And somebody says, well, let me, this is a good one. It's a lot of people who think you can't control your thought life. And the suggestion, but the suggestion was, sure you could. And here's a suggestion. If you don't believe you can control your thought life, let us just put a screen on your forehead that shows everything you ever think about, and I guarantee you'll control your thought life. Come on, let me see. Put that big screen up there, you know. Man, I sure don't want no screen on my thought life, because I ain't got no bad thought, but I just don't want nobody looking at all my thoughts. You? See, I really thought she was a Christian. If you knew everybody could see every thought you ever thought, you would change some of your things you think. Right? Right, I'm trying to move my time, man. Listen very carefully. Let me say this statement to you. This will help you tomorrow. You can't always control what thought comes into your mind. But you can control how far you let that thought make progress in your mind and make progress in your life. May I say that again? Yes, sir. Listen to me now. Listen to me. Some of y'all are sitting there looking real spiritual. You better try to catch on to this stuff. You can't always control what thought come into your mind. But you can control how far you let that thought make progress in your mind and make progress in your life. And that is why, listen to me, what I'm about to say, we need to stop all thoughts at the gate. Hello? Hello? We need to stop all thoughts at the gate. Say that with me.
We need to stop all thoughts at the gate.
Now remember what we talk about. Every thought need to check in at the registration desk. Check in with the image of God and check in with the righteousness of God. If they don't fit the image of God, they don't fit the righteousness of God, shut them off right there. You need to stop every thought, and you need to ask thought, are you in agreement with God's word? Are you in agreement with God? Because it's going to do damage if you let it get in there. So stop it right there and say, are you in agreement with God's word? Say it. Are you in agreement with God's word? Now, the next crazy thought coming to you, you stop it. And say, are you in agreement with God's word? If you're not in agreement with God's word, I'm not in agreement with you.
Amen.
I shut you down right now. You know what? It's 8:05. I'm going to go over a little bit tonight. Just a little bit. Because I'm about to show you how to deal with them thoughts. If thoughts come in your life and they can't answer properly, you need to have thoughts arrested. Take it captive. Now watch what I'm about to say. And brutally Deal with that thought in your life. I'm going to show you how to brutally deal with thoughts. I'm going to show you how you need to deal with your thoughts. Turn to Psalm 18. Psalm 18. I'm telling you, this will turn your life around. I'm telling you, people care not. Devil got you on your knees praying for you, and you get up and get the same thought, you're going to do the same thing. Satan is captaining you by your thought. He's not letting you breathe. He's telling you that's what you want to do, and it's not what you want to do. It's a suggestion he has given you in a deceptive of a lie. John 8:44 says he's the father of a lie. He's a murderer. And when the Bible says John 10:10, the thief come not but to steal, kill, and destroy. Now we know there's only one way that Satan can keep us out of the abundant life. It's with our thought life. So his stealing, his killing, and his destroying is through thoughts, giving you some thoughts of his. Adam and Eve fell for it. The last Adam didn't. He told Jesus, if you be the son. See, trying to throw you some doubt. If, no, Jesus said, no. Jesus heard the God say, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. And Jesus knew who he was. Thoughts come through people. Suggestions come through people. Satan used people who don't know about that thought life to bring you a thought. Then y'all go to thinking a lot. Boy, I said today, some people think they're a friend, but they're a parasite. Amen. You got all of them calling you right, and then you got a friend. You got a parasite up here taking everything you got. Psalm 18. So how you're rootless and brutally you need to be with your thought life. You need to be rough with it. That's why 2 Corinthians said, 5 talking about in chapter 10, 2 Corinthians 10, verse 3 through 5, taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. The word taken to captive, I told you what it means, right? Sword conquer, right? So we need to be bringing every thought into captivity. Now, this is what it says here. You have to beat your thoughts into submission. How you do that? Just keep hitting them with the word of God. No, this is what we're going to do. No, this is what Jesus said. No, this is what the Holy Spirit said. No, this is what the word of God said. I'm not accepting this. I bind you. Break this power. Get off my mind. Leave my life. Telling me I'm not going to make it. You must be out your mind. I already made it. I just got to keep walking by faith. I'm on my way there now. You always going to be sick. You always going to have bills. You always going to be lonely. You always going to be by yourself. No, you're a liar. God said, so you give me the desire of my heart. It's just the time haven't come yet. But it is on the way. Lying devil. Psalm presents us. Y'all got 5 or 10 minutes?
Yes.
If you don't, just go on about your business. With your business self. This psalm going to give us a picture of a Roman soldier brutally beating his prisoner. Brutally taking somebody into a Roman prison and beating that prisoner into submission. You beat that thought into submission. You beat it, you beat it. I mean, just stop right where you are. Just beat into submission with the word of God. And you know, I know there's evil thought to beat a prisoner into submission, but that is exactly the picture God wants us to have of what we need to do with wrong thought. Beat them in some. I ain't going to make it. What? I'm going to be broke next year this time. What? We need to be brutal. We need to be rootless. We need to be just crushing toward thoughts that don't line up with God's word. We need to crush them. We don't need to have mercy on our thought life that don't line up with God's word. No mercy. Have no mercy on thoughts that cross. Any thought that rises up against the knowledge of God, you are a failure. You're never going to make it. You're sick and you'll never get healed. The doctor say you're going to die. Why don't you just accept this sickness? Why don't you just accept how bad this financial situation is for you? Those thoughts are rising themselves up against the knowledge of God. Psalm 18 now. Psalm 18, verse 37. Psalm 18, verse 37. I will pursue my enemies and overtake them. Neither did I turn again till they were consumed. See your wrong thoughts as your enemy. I have pursued my enemy and overtaken them. Now remember what enemy we're talking about. His thoughts. Satan is our enemy, but he has no power, good God Almighty, over our lives. So, but what his goal is to gain access into our lives through our thoughts. And so our enemy is really are the thoughts of Satan that Satan tried to put in our head. That's who the enemy really are. The thoughts of lies and deception that he's using to put into your mind, which mess up your emotion, which mess up your reasoning, mess up your decision, mess up your action, put you in the wrong kind of habit, mess your character up, and mess your destiny up. You can change all that tonight. Go to work on it. Go to work on it. I said go to work on it. Whatever Satan try to bring in your, whatever Satan try to bring into your mind, bring into our head, that's who our really enemy are. In verse 37, he tells us what to do with our enemy. I pursue my enemy. So, number one is that we see there has to be a chase. You have to chase your thought out of your head. You have to be aggressive. You have to take aggressive action against thoughts that come against you and curse you or lie to you or tell you things that are out of alignment with God's word. So number one, he says, I have pursued my enemies. Number two, he says, I have overtaken them. You got to overtake those thoughts. Are you listening to me? What do you overtake thoughts with? Words. Every time a negative thought comes to your head, you speak. You need to speak to it. Come on, I'm going to close in a minute. When a thought comes to you and says, you are a failure, you're not going to make it, you need to take that thought captive by attacking those thoughts, by aggressively pursuing that thought and overtaking it by saying, no, I am not a loser. No, I'm not a failure. I'm more than a conqueror through him that loved me. Romans 8 says, God is on my side. And if God be for me, who can be against me? God have made me the head and not the tail, above and not beneath. So you got to attack it. Attack it, smack it, attack it, jack it, do something to it. You pursue it. I don't know if I'm going to have this vigor next time, so hold on a minute. You pursue it with the word of God. You chase it down with the word of God until it has no place to hide. Until it has to run out of your life and go find somebody else to bother. Are you with me on this? He says, look what the psalmist says. Listen to what he said, Darnell. What you said? You're going to teach Monday night, right? I have pursued my enemies and overtaken them. Neither do I turn again till they are consumed. In other words, I didn't stop beating those thoughts up until they were completely consumed. Good God Almighty. You know, sometimes a thought will come into our mind, we speak to it, and we'll try to forget about it. Anybody ever been there? But it's come back, and we think we got the victory because we overcame it once. Hey, you need to pursue that thing and deal with that thing until it's utterly consumed and not have any mercy on it. Something making you do something you don't want to do, got you hiding, then you know you're not supposed to be hiding, and making you do something you don't want to do, you keep saying you're going to quit doing it. You got to take that thought and you got to consume that thought. You got to fight it, beat it. Just whip it till they turn you loose. He said in verse 38, I wounded them that they were not able to rise. Ha! Look at this attitude we should have against our thoughts. I wounded them and they were not able to rise. They are falling under my foot. I whoop them thoughts so bad they don't even want to come back here. Verse 39, for thou hast girded me with strength unto the battle. Thou hast subdued under me those that rolled up against me. Thou hast also, verse 40, thou also given me the necks of my enemy, that I might destroy them that hate me. Your thoughts sometimes hate you. Verse 41, they cried, but there was none to save them, even unto the Lord, but he answered them not. See, there are thoughts crying in your head all the time, wanting you to receive those thoughts, wanting you to voice those thoughts, wanting you to listen to those thoughts. And when those thoughts carry out, you need not to save them. You need not to deliver them. You need not to answer them. And even under the Lord, even the Lord didn't answer. Verse 42 said, then did I beat them small as the dust before the wind. I did cast them out as the dirt in the street. I'm telling you, boy, just whip them, whip them. Verse 43 said, thou hast delivered me from the striving of the people, and thou hast made me the head of the heathen, a people whom I have not known shall serve me. Let me close with this. Notice the process here. Verse 18, you can read yourself. I pursue my enemy. You know the enemy of my thought. I pursued my enemy. I overtook them. I did not turn until they were consumed. I have wounded them. They were not able to rise. I subdued my enemies under me. Thou hast given me the necks of my enemy that I might destroy them that hate me. They cried, but there was none to save them, even unto the Lord, but he answered them not. If that wasn't enough, David said, then I cast him out as dust in the street. Don't you see how little tolerance David had for the enemy? So the greatest enemy you got, we got to stop allowing thoughts that are contrary to God's word to have any place in our lives. We need to, let me tell you another way to say it. We need to overtake them thoughts. We need to beat them. We need to pursue them. We need to conquer them. We need to subdue them. We need to defeat them. We need to destroy them. And then once we defeat them and destroy them, then we need to beat them as fine as dust. And cast them out to trample on the feet. When you beat them thoughts, you're going to be walking, in my conclusion, you're going to be walking in Luke 10:19. Hold, I give you power. Tread upon serpent and scorpion, and the power of the enemy shall do you no harm. Amen. Raise your hand and pray to God. We'll get back to it. But just watch your thought life. We're going to talk about how to.